Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
You know, it's that time of the year when cooler weather has finally arrived, albeit briefly. But I've worn some sweaters, and not just in travel, I've worn them in Texas. What it feels like is that winter is coming. Stores are already decked out for Christmas, and when this airs, next Friday will be Black Friday and the shopping rush coming. Before that, however, is one of my favorite holidays. It's warm and friendly, it's family, it's good food, and I hear that turkey prices may actually be down, making a feast more affordable this year. It is, of course, Thanksgiving. For believers, there's much more than football and a massive afternoon meal that will put you in a tryptophan-induced coma. This is a time for Thanksgiving, literally giving thanks. And to join me in exploring the Christian basis for Thanksgiving is my lovely wife, an incomparable redhead, mother of our daughters, and spunky bundle of energy and encouragement, the one and the only Marnie.
Aw, thanks for having me again.
Oh, welcome back.
I love it. I love you.
I love you, too. Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio. All right, so sweetheart, have you decided what we should do this year? And I point this out, these things are all the women's prerogative. When you go to the house for Christmas, you go to grandma's house. You don't go to granddad's house or granddaddy's house. You go to grandma's house for Thanksgiving, Christmas, or whatever. So have you decided, are we cooking? Are we doing takeout, friends, family, combination?
I tried cooking one time, literally one time, and it came out raw. In the middle.
A great job cooking. And I remember our first Thanksgiving. I remember when we were dating. It was in California. I was living there at the time. You were in Oklahoma. And you did cook. And it was probably 1995. So 30 years ago. We're celebrating the 30th anniversary of it. And we had a bet on the Oklahoma State University of Tulsa football game.
I can't believe you're bringing this up.
Oh, no. I am totally bringing it up. OSU was leading 17-3 at halftime, and Tulsa had a furious 21-point fourth quarter rally.
So OSU traditionally, Oklahoma State University, traditionally wins by decades. Like, TU never wins, University of Tulsa.
They won this year, darling.
I know. I remember it well.
All right. So Tulsa, my alma mater, versus Oklahoma State, your alma mater. They pulled it out. We had a bet. Tulsa won 24-23. You'd even given me two touchdowns. And
mistakenly,
I won the bet. It was big upset, and you were cooking. You were at our friend Robin's house in Pacific Grove. Do you remember what you wore to Thanksgiving that
year?
Okay,
so you and her son had a bet. Like, the bet was TU would win, and if TU won, then I would have to wear, no joke, gold lamé spandex pants. And gold stuff in my hair. It's always about the gold, isn't it?
It is always about the gold. And you know what he said to you, her son said to you, spandex is a privilege, not a right. I thought you looked good. You were decked out beautifully in the spandex. It looked fabulous.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. You know, and this was our first Thanksgiving together, and my parents were there, and they were impressed with you. They loved your sense of humor and how you treated their son. They loved the fact that you would lose the bet with grace and dignity and wear
still
spandex.
Wear that. Oh, yes. My Lord, have mercy.
And we've had a number of great Thanksgivings together since
then. We have.
We have. You know, that first year, too, you invited me to your family for Christmas.
Yes.
In Oklahoma.
We did the whole switcheroo.
I do remember that. And I remember you gave me some beautiful clothes.
I did.
You shopped at Dillard's because there were Dillard tags in case I didn't like them to take them back. But they looked, I really liked them.
They were not matching tags. Like, I know you're going to say Granimals because my brother-in-law said, oh, Marnie got you some Granimals.
Yeah.
If anyone remembers that.
They were Granimals in that they all matchy. But they looked great together. And, you know, that's
you looked hot, babe.
That's
you
what did. A girlfriend does for her boyfriend. Is like, okay, now that I've got him, I'm going to do the few upgrades and get him looking sharp. And you got me looking sharp. So I appreciate that.
You were looking good. Still are.
Yeah. Well, today I want to talk about the history of Thanksgiving more from a Christian view. For families and some lessons for modern day America.
We can take some lessons from
Thanksgiving. So I'm all decked out. I'm in my traditional Cherokee ribbon shirt.
Yes.
Which is what you would wear to a great feast. So if we were going to visit the pilgrims, you know, actually, they would not have worn a ribbon shirt.
No, they
the ribbons
have.
Came later when the Europeans brought ribbons. The Native Americans said, oh, we'll sew them on. And they sew them on shirts like
yes.
this. But anyway, in honor of Thanksgiving, I put that on. The first Thanksgiving, when was it?
Well, I mean, if you're talking about when FDR made it legal, it was 1941,
right after
Pearl Harbor.
Signed it into law, made it completely legal.
Just before Pearl Harbor.
It was just before. So we had Thanksgiving as a nation signed yeah. into law. But he based that on the last Thursday in November.
Because Washington had kind of already set that precedence.
That's
right.
Back in 1789, Washington had set that. And President Lincoln also. He had a proclamation.
Yeah.
Didn't make it legal.
No, but he had a proclamation.
It was a proclamation, and he said, it has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. It was designed as a Christian religious
holiday. I love that he added, not only Thanksgiving, we sit down and pray, but praise and, you know, I could say further into worship. I mean.
You know, we've got friends in Spain, in Madrid.
Yes.
And they actually celebrate Thanksgiving, a traditionally American holiday, because they give thanks for America. And for the liberty that we've brought to the world.
Right. And they're saying something about
yeah.
what they're having to face.
Yeah. So you get absolutely, this was the first American Thanksgiving, was in the fall of 1621, so it's over 400 years ago, but it was the second winter for the Pilgrim of Plymouth Colony.
Yeah.
It was the second winter. Why? Because the first winter was miserable.
They lost, what, half of the colony?
Yeah.
It was a lot of people they lost because they didn't expect, they were not, the dire conditions, the cold, the harsh weather.
It was absolutely true. The first winter had been devastating. But, you know, more importantly, when they landed at Plymouth, that first planting season, they adopted socialism.
Yes.
That was a part of the compact that had been saddled on them by the financiers, that everybody would share everything in common. They tried socialism. Even Google AI knows this. So I said, yeah, is this true or is it false? Did the Pilgrims try socialism? Here's the answer. Yes, the Pilgrims initially established a communist, socialist-like economic system at Plymouth Colony, but it failed because it disincentivized work and led to starvation. The colony was founded with the goal of sharing everything, but this resulted in a lack of productivity, as those who worked hard received the same as those who didn't. Governor William Bradford later abandoned the system in favor of private property and individual land ownership, which he credited with improving productivity and prosperity. They tried communism, and it failed miserably.
The concept of communism just seems so great, but when it plays out, it doesn't work.
It does not. Well, they're about to find that out in New York, unfortunately, under Mamdani, who just got elected as mayor of New York, who believed in the same thing. Well, let's do this communal socialist type system, and we'll have rent controls, and we'll take from the haves and give to the have-nots and all of that. It was a miserable failure, even among the Pilgrims who landed at Plymouth Rock.
Now, going back to our friends in Spain, he was raised communist. And when he accepted Christ, he realized it's antithetical to the Christian belief system. It wouldn't work.
Right. Well, it takes away individual liberty, and it
right.
takes away individual generosity, because you don't have to be giving. So there's no obeying Christian to give to the poor. There's no obeying that, because the government takes the money away from you and they give to the poor on your behalf. In other words, the government says, we are God.
I would rather have the choice. I would rather the church take care of what we're supposed to take care of.
And the church will do a much better job with it. All right, we're talking about the first Thanksgiving, which was great thanks. We'll cover more of this right after this break.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and we're talking about the first Thanksgiving, which was not the first harvest, because the Plymouth colonists had tried socialism. It failed miserably. It caused a lot of death and destruction, as communism always does. Yes. And then they said, well, we'll try free market capitalism. I pulled up the Daily Economy. The Pilgrims tried socialism and it failed. And what strikes out to me, hold right here, is Governor Bradford explaining in Old English why socialism fails. And do you see the highlighted portion there in the notes?
Yeah. He said they deemed it a kind of slavery.
They deemed it a kind of slavery. And the reason they did that is because no matter how hard you worked, you got the same.
Yes.
No matter how little you worked, you got the same. And so the people that would otherwise be highly productive in society said, hey, I don't want to work as hard because you're giving me the same. What would have happened if they'd gone to those same younger people, more able-bodied, and said, hey, look, work as hard as you want, and it's yours to do with as you will. And by the way, here's some people over here who may not be able to work as hard and they don't have as much. Well, these were Christian people. They would have been generous. They would have immediately been generous. And
yes,
it would have been the love of Christ that was sharing as opposed to the government mandating.
Right.
And so in his own words, Governor Bradford, he said, for the young men were able and fit for labor and service, did repine that they should spend their time and strength to work for other men's wives and children without recompense. The strong, or men of parts, had no more division of food, clothes, etc., than he that was weak and not able to do a quarter that the other could. This was thought injustice. The aged and graver men to be ranked and equalized in labor and food, clothes, etc., with the meaner and younger sort, thought it some indignant and disrespect unto them, and for men's wives to be commanded to do service for other men as dressing their meat, washing their clothes, etc., they deemed it a kind of slavery. Neither could their husbands brook it. In other words, hey, this doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work. But the next year, they had private property.
Right.
And they had abundance.
They tried that, and it was fabulous.
And they had abundance.
They had abundance. Everyone had their own little plot of land, and they had abundance. And then out of their abundance, they shared with their neighbors. So they traded, they bartered, they did all kinds of interesting things.
That brought Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And they gave thanks to God because of private property and the success of how God. In fact, Bradford also wrote in there, he said, the experience that was had in this common course and condition tried sundry years, and that amongst the godly and sober men may well convince of the vanity and conceit of Plato's and other ancients. Plato promoting communism.
Right.
That the taking away of property and bringing it into commonwealth would make them happy and flourishing. That's what they thought, as if they were wiser than God. For this community, so far as it was found to breed confusion and discontent and retard much employment that would have been to their benefit and comfort. He basically lays it out. That's a direct warning for New York City right now today.
Yes.
There's no question about it. Spreading of the wealth should come from human generosity and godly.
Taxing the rich, which is one of the biggest things that he talked about, Mom Donnie.
Oh, yeah. Mom Donnie also talked about eliminating billionaires. And I don't mean to suggest he meant eliminating by shooting them.
Right.
But by taking away their ability to succeed.
I think it's the billionaires and millionaires and those type of people that actually have the companies, that raise up companies, that start companies, that help other people start companies so that people can have liberty.
And then they donate to good causes and they support it. If you have godly preaching in the pulpits to where people see the needs of others and you realize they have need and you have something, if you see your brother in need and you fail to supply their need, you sin. Mm-hmm. That's according to Scripture. All right, but here's the problem is the first Thanksgiving was a celebration of the rejection of communal socialism, communism. Private property has been part of America ever since. Now people want to retry socialism because they see rent is too expensive in New York, or they see food is too expensive. They see a hamburger that did cost $8 now costs $36 in New York.
That's insanity.
It is insanity. The real problem is unjust weights and measures.
That's exactly right.
We're here at Pirate Money Radio. The cost of rent, the cost of food, the cost of anything that you need, clothing and everything else, in terms of gold or silver, has actually gone down over time, not up.
Right.
And so it is actually the fact that the dollar's declined, in, it's lost 90% of its purchasing power in, over the, my lifetime. Over basically.
So I remember a 20-cent Hershey bar is now almost $3.
10-cent Hershey bar for me, sweetie. That's because you're so much younger than I am. But yes, it's you pay $2 or $3 or $4 for a Hershey bar in a convenience store. It's just crazy.
Probably $6 in New York.
Probably so. All right, so support for this program comes from Glint, a financial technology service offering a debit card and mobile app that enables users to access their gold holdings for everyday purchases. With Glint, users maintain ownership of allocated physical gold, which is stored in a managed vault. At the time of a transaction, gold is sold in real time to cover the purchase amount in local currency. Glint offers an alternative way to store and use the value, combining gold and silver with modern payment infrastructure. Glint clients can monitor their gold balance, view transaction history, and manage their account through the Glint app, available on major mobile platforms. More details about how vaulted physical gold can be used as money are available at glintpay.com/gold247. Again, that's glintpay.com/gold247. Glint providing access to gold for modern spending. And if New Yorkers 2 years ago, when gold was, you know, $2,000 an ounce, had held their money in the form of gold, they would actually have twice as much purchasing power in,
yes,
in current terms. So they'd be able to afford those higher rents.
Yes.
That's the solution. All right. Now let's get back to Thanksgiving history. I want to point out Native Americans were involved in the first Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
And it's as Cousin Will.
And we needed them.
We did. They needed to learn how to grow food. They needed to learn how to survive the winter. But, you know, as Cousin Will once said, of course, we're not the Americans whose ancestors came over on the Mayflower, but we met them at the boat when they landed. That's a famous quote.
You like to say that all the time.
I used that quote in New York when I met a guy, had a Mayflower Society pin on his lapel. John Templeton sent me there. I was just a kid. I was in my 20s. And this very wealthy guy, penthouse apartment on Park Avenue.
Yeah.
And he had the entire top floor with his St. Bernard and a grand piano in the lobby area of his home. Unbelievable. He walks up and he says, oh, it's a pleasure to meet you. And anyway, his Thurston Howell III accent going. And I noticed his pen. I was just desperate for something to connect with him. I said, oh, it's a nice pen. He said, oh, it's a Mayflower Society. You can only get it if your ancestors came on the Mayflower. And he says, perhaps you are descendants. And I said, nope, but my ancestors met them at the boat.
That's right.
Because of my Cherokee heritage. You know, I've got a picture here of my my grandfather and Will Rogers, because they looked. Will Rogers died in 1935. My grandfather was a young man then. That was the year my father was born. But a lot of people say there was a strong physical similarity.
So I think it's awesome you're related to Will Rogers. And there's Sam Houston in there somewhere too, right?
Yeah, Sam Houston. Same family, the Rogers. Sam married a Tiana Rogers.
So look at your heritage. That's amazing.
And you know, I didn't buy it. My dad told me it was true. And you know, he's like, oh, come on, Dad. Oh, come on. We're in Oklahoma. Everybody revered Will Rogers in Oklahoma. I said, we're not related. So one day he invited me out to the Will Rogers Museum in Claremore, which we visited. And he said, let's go see the birthplace. And sitting on the porch there was a guy named Jimmy Rogers. I said, oh, related to Will? I said, well, I'm his youngest son.
Yeah.
And he said, Cousin Kerry, who's this? And I was like, oh, my gosh.
You are related.
We are related. Most people don't know who Will Rogers is today, but he was huge in Hollywood.
He's a Cherokee kid.
He was known as the Cherokee kid, yeah. Mm-hmm. And between 1915 and 1935, cowboy philosopher Will Rogers, this is according to the Smithsonian, brightened the dark days of the Great Depression with words of compassion and common sense. He became a Broadway star, a top male movie box office star, and the highest paid movie star, the most popular radio star, and the most frequently requested public speaker, and the most widely read daily newspaper columnist in the United States.
And he was just downright entertaining, funny, kind, He was awesome to watch.
Darling, I'm funny. I'm the funniest person you know. You just don't
realize it. You're absolutely right. You are right. You nailed that on the head.
And his point on the Mayflower and the Pilgrims needing the Indians, that was accurate. He was right. They met him at the boat and they showed him what to do. It wasn't Cherokee Indians necessarily, but it was Native Americans, the first Thanksgiving. And
it's Wampanoag or however you say it, Wampanoag.
Well, it was Squanto.
Yes.
Right? We study Squanto. Here's history.com. Who is Squanto and what was his role in the first Thanksgiving? You can see a picture there. Squanto absolutely spoke perfect English because he'd been kidnapped and sent to England, and then he returned and he showed the settlers. Without Squanto, I don't think they would have survived, and even William Bradford wrote about how important he was.
He called him a godsend.
In his diary. He was sent
because
by God.
He could talk to both sides who had no understanding language-wise.
Yes, and he was a part of the first Thanksgiving, and the reason for Thanksgiving was the Native Americans. And this was a part of God's providential hand bringing the Pilgrims, who had, by the way, lived with the Jewish community in Holland, and they saw this as going into the new Israel.
Right, I've heard that.
There's so many ties here. Bill Federer wrote that. I mean, it's in his American Minute. If you don't get the American Minute, that's a great resource, AmericanMinute.com. And you can read the writings of how Squanto literally helped, used by God to help save the Pilgrims from Plymouth.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's likely the Pilgrims didn't invite, this is in history.com, the Wampanoag to the first harvest Thanksgiving memorialized in the now popular American holiday. In fact, the 10 days long feast convened to put at ease some 90 warriors who'd arrived at Plymouth fully armed in response to a volley of celebratory gunfire that they'd heard shot by the colonists.
Right.
So the Indians here, they're celebrating because they finally have a good harvest because they rejected socialism, adopted private property. Then they celebrate, shoot guns in the air, and then a bunch of 90 warriors show up. What's going on? That's how the first Thanksgiving started. And that is a true part of American history, something we taught our kids when we home educated them, but something that I don't think they're getting in schools these days.
I don't think they get the full story, the full history, partly due to time because they're all running all over the buildings and trying to do other things. And they've inserted other things that are just unnecessary.
They're trying to teach anti-Americanism and say Squanto was a bad story, not a good story. All right, we're going to cover the true story of Thanksgiving and more when we come back right after this break. We'll be right back.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And joined by the beautiful Marnie Freeman, my wife and best friend and mother of our kids and educator of our children. In fact, she educated you a lot through our involvement in a school that helped home education parents with 2 days a week program.
We did. And we did talk a lot about Thanksgiving and Indian, and particularly because they have Native American heritage.
Well, a lot of them do, and just because it's part of all of our heritage, combined Thanksgiving heritage. A lot of people look at the story of Squanto, which we were talking about before the break, and they see colonizers and all sorts of evil. He was sold into slavery, but you can also see a story of forgiveness.
Redemption and forgiveness.
So Squanto was literally kidnapped and sold into slavery. He was kidnapped by Thomas Hunt, an English explorer, sold as slaves in Spain. Squanto was purchased by a Spanish monk who treated him kindly, taught him Christianity, and eventually sent him to England to work in the stables of a man named John Slaney. Now, this is from the Daily Herald. And in 2014. So a few people a decade ago remembered the truth, but we need to continue. Every Thanksgiving, we need to tell this story.
Absolutely. Yes. And while he was there in England, he learned English. And so that's how he could communicate when he got back here.
Which made him invaluable to the colonists.
Right.
When he came here. So that was great. So John realized Squanto was homesick when he was in England, John Slaney, and he was moved with Christian compassion, and so he effected his passage back to the New World in 1619. By now, Squanto was fluent in the King's English. He could bring the King James Bible. He excitedly ran to where his village was located, expecting to be greeted warmly by his kin, only discovered his whole village had died of a plague, probably introduced by the settlers.
Yeah.
Smallpox.
Yeah.
Wow. He lived for a short time with neighboring Wampanoag tribe, but never felt totally at home, and he left to live on his own in the woods. And the first brutal winter, fully half of the original pilgrims died. You mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
They were woefully unprepared for living the frontier lifestyle in this new world. When spring came, the Wampanoag chief,
Massasoit,
decided to offer friendship to the new settlers and asked Squanto to serve as an intermediary since he knew the newcomers' language.
Yes.
So what happened then? They had a miserable winter, died because of socialism, and they didn't know how to live in the harsh conditions.
Well, that's when he taught them how to grow Indian corn, vegetables, fish, how to use fish for fertilizer. He taught the young boys how to stomp around the mud by the ocean to find eels for meat so they could eat. Isn't that interesting?
Basically, he taught them how to survive, given by God as a gift.
Godsend.
Think of the symbolism here, because here's a guy that was sold in the evils of slavery, and then the kindness of Christianity sent him back, and then he was given an opportunity to bring together unity between the native people and the colonists. This is God's plan, I believe, in the beginning of America.
I do too.
So when Squanto caught fever and was dying, Bradford recorded that Squanto asked the governor to pray for him that he might go to the Englishman's God in heaven, so Squanto even got saved.
Yeah.
That's
beautiful.
Amazing.
So that's what I'm talking about, redemption. Forgiveness, redemption, moving forward. God makes all things work out for his good and his purposes.
If we look for it, we will see it.
Absolutely.
It's in our American history. So if you're being told or your children are being told that Thanksgiving is a story of repression and colonization and all that, it's actually a story of redemption. And, you know, the redemption that we hear, I've talked to some people who are African-American descent.
Right.
And they thank God, not for slavery per se, but how God used slavery to bring them to America.
Yes.
A number have gone back to Africa and they've said, I thank God that I was able to be raised in America and able to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and raise my family in a freedom-loving place. And where I came from is not where I want to be.
Right. And we are not, you know, saying the atrocity of slavery were fine. They were absolutely not.
No.
It's disgusting.
Joseph was sold into slavery,
yes.
And look how it saved the nation.
That's right. And so God uses all things together for his good.
I thank God, for example, you know, we've had right here in this studio, Economic War Room, we've had Dr. Ben Carson,
yes.
who descended from slaves that came over from Africa, and yet the twins that were separated, the Siamese twins that were separated at the co-joined at the brain and separated, they can thank God that he used Dr. Ben Carson,
yes.
who was brought here, educated in America and all of that. They can thank. I thank God for what Dr. Ben Carson has done for housing and urban development, what he's doing
right.
for the American Cornerstone Institute. So what was tragedy, what Satan intended for evil, God used for good.
That's
and
right.
that's the story of Squanto too. You know, I even remember my relatives talking about the Trail of Tears. They hated the fact that the government at gunpoint drove them across.
I mean, your family was on the Trail of Tears.
Yeah, well, at least it brought them to Oklahoma.
That's right.
That's what they would say. And
where they actually received plots of land and eventually, you know, eventually liberty.
Yeah. Well, my great-grandmother was born in Indian Territory around the same time as Will Rogers was born in Indian Territory. Even my grandfather was not necessarily a citizen when he was born. He was born in 1908 after the state of Oklahoma had been formed. He was a two-later, so he didn't get any land. His older brothers got land. He'd got no land, and he may not have even been given a citizenship until he was 16 years old when they passed the Indian Citizenship Act. So But you know what? He didn't blame America for cheating him out of his land. He didn't blame America for any of that. He served honorably in World War II. He loved America. He's one of the most patriotic people I know. And he's the one who convinced me in my first election to vote for Ronald Reagan.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
He was a postman. He was a mechanic. He did whatever he could to survive during the Great Depression. He would run down, he'd see somebody get a flat tire, he would race to repair the tire so he could get enough money to pay for food for my dad and his wife, my grandma, and yet he wasn't even born a citizen.
So, you had troubles in there, hardship, but also turning around for the good. And then, you know, there's been a movement over the years by Nigel Bigpond and some others bringing Native Americans together in Washington, D.C. to pray over the land, to forgive, you know, some things that happened.
Yes.
And it's been beautiful to watch.
And I got to be one of the very first speakers at the first event he had. I love Nigel and the work that he does. And, you know, it's interesting because there's another group that is concerned in New York. It's the Jewish community in New York that they're concerned. But, you know, Thanksgiving is a holiday that Jewish people really embrace, as do Christians, because it has Jewish origins. I don't know if many people know this.
I don't think a lot of people know that.
The pilgrims were inspired by the holiday of Sukkot, that when they founded the Thanksgiving holiday, they did that because they lived with a Jewish community in Holland when they'd been persecuted out of England, and they adopted a lot of the Jewish customs. They read it in the Bible about the great feasts and the feasts of the Lord. The Feast of Booths or Tabernacles was a harvest holiday. And so they decided, you know what? We're going to have a harvest holiday.
It's all about harvest.
That's right. And so they celebrated the harvest in a modern-day version of the Israel's holiday. Today, we might say they identified as Israelites.
Yeah.
Chased out of their
out of their homeland.
Out of their homeland and coming to America. They compared the voyage across America to the children of Israel's crossing the Red Sea, and they compared the hardships of the new land to the years of wandering in the desert. The Puritans did not, and I'm quoting here from Anne Green, where she said, the Puritans did not believe in fixed holidays. If it was a good season, they would announce a Thanksgiving. So they were literally celebrating because they had a good harvest because of what they learned from Jewish settlers when they were hiding in Holland. So,
and they understood all of those holidays, Feast of Tabernacles or Feast of Booths. They understood all of that.
They did. William Bradford led the service of Thanksgiving and recited Psalm 107. Give thanks to Adonai, for he is good, for his grace continues forever. In fact, Bradford's Bible included notes from an English clergyman who quoted the most well-known medieval Jewish scholar based on Psalm 107. So
amazing.
This is. All right, Marnie, what are your favorite Thanksgiving memories?
Oh, I have so many of them, but just growing up with my family and watching football, the turkey, I think one thing that was really funny with our families, half of our clan was Oklahoma State and the other half was University of Oklahoma, so it was always bedlam at that time, and we were always wearing our outfits. And I always had orange and black on, which is more like Halloween than Thanksgiving, but that's the colors of Oklahoma State. And so there was always that going on, and that was fun.
And the Oklahoma Sooners, and they were called Sooners because they came in and took the Indians' land from them.
Exactly.
I just want to point out the Indian giver doesn't necessarily mean that the Indians were the ones that were, hey, you know, to be an Indian giver, you gave it to the natives and then took it back. But
all right, that's part
of the history. and we can be thankful for all that. I remember my favorite Thanksgiving holiday may have been when we went to Philadelphia and I spoke at Wharton School and we visited Valley Forge with our little girls.
That was so awesome. Just the rich history of Valley Forge and what happened there. I mean, it was powerful time. And that was part of our homeschooling. It was fabulous.
Yep. Yep. My favorite Thanksgivings are the ones I've had with you.
Those are my favorite.
I do remember when the whole family gathered when I was little and we all had to go make a cassette recording for Aunt Farrell, who couldn't be there. So everybody had to go in and hold the mic, and we had the little realistic Radio Shack cassette recorder, and we press record and play. And I remember, and we love you, Aunt Farrell. And I remember just a little kid saying that, and we had to send that tape to her. But with so many memories.
Well, and then there was one where, another time. So I attempted to cook a second time, and that came out raw. And we literally had to find a barbecue restaurant down the street so we could go get meat of some kind to go with our food. Yeah. That tells you how my cooking is.
Thanksgiving is more than the food. It's the fellowship. It's the gathering. It's the giving thanks to the Lord who has done so much for us. And I remember in 2023, it's the last time I saw my dad alive, was Thanksgiving and Friday after, because he died on the Saturday. It was a tough year.
He said he would make it to Thanksgiving, and he did.
He did. All right, we're going to cover reasons to be thankful right after this break with the great Marnie Freeman. We'll be right back.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Right, and I'm talking with my beautiful, fabulous wife, love of my life. We're talking about Thanksgivings that we've celebrated over the last 30 years of Thanksgiving with you. It's just amazing.
As I say, we're young.
Yeah, we're young. Half of my life, approximately, has been spent with you, the best half of my life, and I'm so grateful
it's been that amazing.
God brought you in. I'm thankful for you, darling.
I'm thankful for you.
So that's one of my thanks. So I looked up biblical reasons to be thankful. And I love the internet for this. I'm thankful for the internet. You can do this and just do a web search. And I came up with ag.org. It's not ag.org.
No.
It's Assemblies of God.
Assemblies of God.
But 15 reasons from Scripture to give thanks from 2023. This was the year my dad died and the year your dad died. I lost my dad at Thanksgiving. You lost him the day after Christmas.
Yes, that was a hard time, but I'm grateful for the time we got with them.
I'm grateful they're both in heaven.
Me too.
And my mom too, and your aunt Wanda, and and my dad's second wife after my mom died. My dad's second wife is in heaven, Donna, and my dad's wife, my mom.
Yeah.
My dad, I miss them all, but we have reason to be thankful. We have reason. We have our health. We have our family, and not every family has their health.
No.
And so I'm grateful for that, and I pray for those who don't. If you have health needs and you want prayer, write into us. You can send them to us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com, and we'll take your prayer requests. But we also need to give our requests with thanksgiving. I'll read, quote, Philippians 4:4-7, rejoice in the Lord always. It's not easy to do that when things are going wrong. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. And Thanksgiving is a time to get rid of the anxiety. I remember the anxiety when we were first married over the hanging chads of who won, Al Gore or George W. Bush. And it seemed like the biggest deal in the world at the time. And now it's just, just a footnote in history.
It is.
But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So if you have prayer needs, take them, make your petitions known, but do it with thanksgiving.
There's so much in the Bible about being grateful, for having a thankful heart, for approaching God with thanksgiving, which is in Psalm 100. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations.
Now, I can't imagine that Squanto was super thankful when he was first kidnapped and sent to England. I can't imagine that my ancestors were super thankful when Andrew Jackson ordered them out of the Southeast and into Oklahoma. I can't imagine they felt thankful. I can't imagine that.
But it has weaved such a beautiful tapestry.
It has. And all of those trials, as bad as they were, have come to an end.
Yes.
I was not thankful for my father's cancer.
No.
Or your father's dementia. But I can be thankful that they have eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
That's right. As I was driving into the studio today, I was just overcome with gratitude because I was talking to the Lord, praying and saying, Lord, just let our hearts be thankful for this time. Let us really see what you see in compassion towards people, in loving people, in being grateful for an eternal life with you, for you sending your son for us so that we could have eternal life. So all the things that Christ came to do, which is to weave that beautiful tapestry, is I was just overcome to the point of tears on the way in. And I'm almost to that point again.
So we are thankful. It sometimes takes an act of the will, though. You have to recognize truth, and it's where you set your mind.
Yes.
If you set your mind on all the problems, you may not be thankful, and you'll vote in socialism into New York City, and it will lead to more problems.
Well, and then all your personal problems that are, you know, you can just go to bad places. That's why you
Nobody
have to
likes
overcome.
Me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat some worms.
Yes.
Yeah. As the kids would sing. But all right, so here's 15 reasons from Scripture to give thanks for God's grace. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. He's given us grace. We don't deserve heaven, but he gives us a chance to go to heaven.
For our inheritance in Christ, which is Colossians 1:12, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance, and me and everybody listening, of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Not the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light.
Yeah, you know, my father left an inheritance to my brother and my sister and me, and it was great. It was nothing compared to the inheritance of what Jesus has given us. All right, for strength, 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has given me strength that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. If you have any strength in your life, give thanks to God for it. And if you don't have any...
In the midst of hardship... In the midst of plenty, thanks.
And if you give thanks, I'm telling you, God will give you strength to endure the hardship because you know there are good things that are happening, whether on this earth or in the earth to come, eternal life.
And for his reign. So in Revelation 11:17, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign.
Well, that's what we need. We need God reigning. When God is on the throne, which he always is.
Yeah, he doesn't get down.
When God is on the throne, then he reigns. And when he reigns, and that's manifest on the earth, it is manifest for our good, not for our evil.
That's right.
Okay, and for hope. And that's what we have. Psalm 71:14. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more.
I would also say to that, if you retain your footing and your relationship and being in the Word and prayer with the Lord in the good times, it is, I would say, easier, and you're more focused on the Lord in the hard times. And we all have hard times.
And, you know, without hope, all seems lost.
That's right.
And so hope sustains us. It does not disappoint us. So during the hard times, make sure that you do have that hope. What else can we be
so thinking? And for what he's done. So in Psalm 107:22, let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy.
What has he done? He's given his life for us.
Yes.
Jesus gave his life for us. He suffered rejection by men. He suffered ridicule. He would go and heal people and get blamed. I feel sometimes I do a good deed sometimes, and then I was like,
and you get blamed for it.
Get blamed for it. In this case, he gave a blind man sight, and he got blamed for it.
Yeah.
The lame were made to walk. He got blamed for it. He raised the dead, And they hated him so much that they wanted to kill the one he raised, Lazarus, just to take away the glory that God was getting because he raised someone from the dead.
That's right. I'm thankful for the word of God, because if we didn't have that as our guide, it would be difficult. It's like, seven times a day I praise you for your righteous laws, and that's Psalm 119, 164.
And I want to thank him for Psalm 119.99 that got me through college.
Yes.
I have more understanding than all my teachers because I meditate on the testimonies of God. I did my studies, but I would equal time study God's word, and I got an A in that class.
Right.
Much unexpected. For life.
For life itself.
Yes. Psalm 71.6, from birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. And he knew us in
the
our mother's room. And
he knit
this
us
is
together.
A pro life.
So, yes.
Pro life verse. All right. For fellow believers, Ephesians 1:16.
Community we need. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in our prayers. My prayers.
I'm thankful for the church and the community. I'm thankful for peace. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful.
And we're grateful. And for bearing our burdens, oh my goodness. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily, moment by moment, bears our burdens. And I literally was praying that on the way in as another
We've got
topic
some
I was discussing
God,
with the Lord.
We're casting them on you. Right? Yeah. That's Psalm 68:19. We can be thankful for his goodness. Psalm 136:1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Forever.
Even in the hard times.
And for victory in Christ, like, he's our banner of victory. But thanks be to God, he gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
And that's 1 Corinthians 15:57.
Yeah. And for the Holy Spirit, who counsels us, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. And that's in John 14:16.
Let's pause on that one for a moment, because the greatest gift of all, the one that happened at Pentecost, they said, where did this amazing gift come from? The one that happened was the God dwelling in man.
You can't even wrap your mind around it.
You ask Jesus into your heart. Literally, he sends the Holy Spirit
to guide
us,
to counsel us.
And God himself, so you have that still small voice telling you, "Go, don't go here, don't go there." The ability to do things that you never would. How did you do that? Well, the Holy Spirit made it possible.
That's right.
And even down to the small things, I can't find my lost whatever. I say, "Holy Spirit, help me find it." And how many times have I walked in and said, "The Holy Spirit knows everything"?
A lot, pretty much daily.
Pretty much daily. And then we can give thanks to God
for everything.
1 Thessalonians 5:18.
Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
And that ties us into 1 Thessalonians 5:16 also. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. That is the bottom line. That's what God has called us to. So we're grateful for you, our audience. If you have questions, if you have prayer needs, if you have comments, email us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com and pray. Pray for America and the world to return to God's principles, and in doing so, his divine protection. Listen wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, etc., and check out piratemoneyradio.com. It's Kevin Freeman and Marnie Freeman for Pirate Money Radio.
Arrgh.